Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Two men died. One was a pastor of some repute, well known for his good liturgy and fairly lengthy sermons. The other, a bus driver. And as they came to the pearly gates, walking up that long and golden road, there was St. Peter at the gate. And as they approached, they said, "What is your name?" And the bus driver says, "My name is Sam." And St. Peter said, "And what did you do in your life that you should come here before this gate?" And he says, "I was a bus driver." And the pastor thought to himself, "Well, I've been on a few buses. This guy doesn't stand a chance." And then St. Peter said to the pastor, "Who are you? What is your name? And what have you done that brings you before this glorious gate?" And he says, "I have been a pastor and toiled for over 30 years in the service of the Lord." St. Peter thought for a moment, and he said to the bus driver, "Sam, please come on in." And in he went. The pastor stood there confused. And he said, "But St. Peter, why? How can this possibly be that the bus driver should precede me into heaven?" And St. Peter says, "You know, for your whole life and ministry, you have gone and shared the gospel and preached sermons and put people to sleep. But each and every day, Sam went out and drove his bus on the byways and highways through narrow streets and alleys and always brought people to prayer." Didn't I tell that better than Al did? Yes. Thank you. So what does that have to do with anything? Well, I think what it has to do with is how God is acting in our lives. In this story, this demoniac, this we come to call him the Gerasene demoniac, gets set free, healed, or saved. Actually, it's all the same verb, sozo, healed or saved in this story from this demon. And you know the story well, I hope. Jesus has gone over to the other side, something that's really important to realize. He's no longer doing ministry among the people he knows and with whom he is comfortable. He's gone over to the other side, to the Gentile side, to the Gerasenes, where one would not expect that he would necessarily be known or respected, where his words would not have been part of the daily life of the people. We know this because there they are, herding pigs, not the most Jewish thing to do. So when this crazy person greets him at the boat, Jesus commands the demon to go out of him, and it does. And at first the demon begs not to be sent into the abyss, and Jesus says, "Well, okay, go into this swineherd." And they go crazy and jump off the cliff, therefore creating the first deviled ham. You've heard that joke before, right? That's like, I think that joke was first told in the 2nd century BC. But what's interesting to me is then what happens to the man afterwards. God acted in his life in this incredible way, and immediately he wants to join Jesus, right? He's ready to climb in the boat and go with Jesus wherever Jesus would go. And you would expect that this crowd would be pleased that this demoniac who had terrorized their midst was healed. I mean, after all, if you listen to the story, what did they do with him when he was going crazy? They bound him up, right? Well, in almost every other story about people who are possessed, what happens to the people who are possessed? They're driven out, right? They're driven out of the village. You don't want to be around crazy people. We know that. What do? With people who we consider to be mentally ill? We put them away from us. We don't want to see them. They make us uncomfortable. But there was something about this man that was different. They didn't push him away or send him out into the far fields. They didn't get him out of the community, but rather they bound him up in chains and kept him close. And still he would break the bonds. He must, it seems to me, have been a person of some value to them. And yet, when Jesus heals this one, they're not filled with gratitude or relief. Oh, finally, we're not going to have to listen to this guy anymore. They're not filled with the kind of sense of peace that comes with a long-term problem having been solved. They are, it says in the text, afraid. And what do they want Jesus to do? Get out. Get away from us. Isn't it odd? The crazy, naked fellow who was disrupting their community is bound and kept close. But the healer is pushed away. The end of the story. This man wants to go with Jesus. He no longer necessarily wants to be in the community. Maybe he does. But what we do know is he wants to be with Jesus. And it would have been the easiest thing in the world for Jesus to simply say, "Of course, come and follow me." Isn't that what you expect the story, how you expect it to end? I certainly do. All through this whole part of the gospel, Jesus is asking people to follow him. But in this case, he says, no. You have been set free. Now, go back to your community and tell them what God has done for you. And he gets in the boat and he leaves. We have no idea what happened to him after this episode. The gospel doesn't record it. We don't know if he became an upstanding citizen in the community, if he was received back with open arms, or if he was in fact kind of looked on in a rather suspect way. Because you know those mentally ill people, they can just go off at any moment. Maybe this is just temporary. We don't know that. But we do know what Jesus asks him to do. Go and tell what God has done for you. As I thought about that story, I was drawn to the story in Galatians, that wonderful text. You all know what God has done for you. But do you know how to tell the story? Do you know how to go into your community, even among your friends or your own family, and relay for them the story of what God has done for you? That God has set you free, Paul says, from the bondage of sin and the law. That very law which once was your, I love the word disciplinarian, it's pedagogist, right? Your teacher. You've been set free from that, Paul says in Galatians, so that you can proclaim Christ. You've been set free from your bigotry, from your racism, from your social standing, from your family, so that you can proclaim Christ. Not on your terms, but on God's terms. When I was in seminary, we studied this particular text in Galatians, that there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free. And we did it within the context of trying to figure out who it was that belonged in the church. And a friend of mine had the audacity to have t-shirts made with this text on it. And on the t-shirt, he put this: "There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female, gay or straight." And then he just continued the list. Blasphemy. Blasphemy, we heard. We would wear that. It was fun to wear that shirt, especially, you know, if you went to kind of a more conservative theological conference. Right? But what he was trying to get at is that, like the demoniac, we had been set free from the bonds and the bondage into the freedom which is Christ. The point of the t-shirt was not to offend, but to proclaim what God had done for us. It became a kind of powerful rallying point. That the problem was not with the Jews or the Greeks or the slaves or the free. It's problems that we don't have a huge big issue at for the most part. But as soon as we begin to look closer at what we value the most, suddenly that freedom becomes problematic. If you don't own slaves, slaves are not a problem. If you're not a Jew, Jews are not a problem. If you're Greek, you like ouzo. But what about all the other problems in the world? What about all of the other enslavements? What about homeless people and poor people? When we begin to proclaim freedom for them, or for those who are oppressed in their jobs, or for women's rights, for children, suddenly then this text and the freedom that Christ offers becomes problematic. Because we don't want the system upset any more than the people in that village wanted their lives upset. But the gospel and its proclamation and freedom, those things which God is doing among us, is bound to upset us. Herb Anderson once said that at the end, we are willing to trade freedom to grow and change for the security of knowing that things will be like they have always been. I'll read it again. We are willing to trade freedom to grow and change for the security of knowing that things will be like they have always been. But the problem with Jesus, the problem with the gospel, is that it doesn't allow things to always be as they have always been. The challenge for us is not the demons in our lives, or the crazy people, or discomfort. The problem is that God has declared freedom to us and then bid us to go into our own communities and proclaim what God has done. That's our task. That's our life. To proclaim what God has done. As you go from this place today, sweaty, tired, a little exhausted, go into your family and your town and your work and your relationships and proclaim what God has done this day in freedom. Amen.